Right, isn't God good? He's glad they're here today. I'm glad you're here, as I was be speaking to myself. Today, if anybody wants handkerchiefs on the subject, so if you could pass those out, that's great. And Pam, there you are, you can pass those out. Just in case the subject is we're talking about money. And quite often when we talk about money, people go, "Don't talk about money." The last time I spoke on this subject was about 2012, 2013, so it's been a long time, but I'm going to try and do the talk today and sensitively, and hopefully it is something that God would want me to preach on, because it's his whole word, and talking about money and finances and tithing. You can start using the handkerchiefs now if you want to. Is part of our devotion to God. Now, last week, we spoke about how God is totally devoted to us. If you were here last week, you will remember that. If you weren't here that last week, you won't. But there are some notes on the reception desk. The reception desk is being made clear, so you can get information from there. Rachel will explain that to you later on. But last week, we looked about God's total devotion to us. Can you start the 30 minutes from now, Kate? Thanks. Our total devotion to us, and how he is more devoted to us than we are devoted to him. But a part of our devotion to him is we respond to his devotion to us. And part of today is what we're going to be looking at. Who believes that God is a generous giver? I absolutely 100% believe God is a generous giver. He's the most generous giver in the whole universe. How do I know that? Because he gave you the very best he have. He could have said, "Well, what have I got left? I've created the whole of the universe. I could give them that. That would be enough." But no. John 3:16, one of the most amazing verses that we have, says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." At some point back in history, God the Father, God the Son had a conversation. God the Father said to the Son, "Son, I need to redeem these people and give them my very, very best. You're my best, and I want to give you my best." So I don't know about the God you serve, but he's not a miserable God. He's not a stingy God. He doesn't hold back things for himself. He's a generous God and gives us extravagantly. I love that word, extravagantly, abundantly. More than we deserve. None of us deserved his Son. None of us could do and please God in any way at all other than to receive him. So the God I serve, and I hope the God you serve, is a God of the abundance. And we live in a kingdom where God wants us to imitate him. God created us in his image to be like him. And one of the ways that we are like him is we show generosity to others in the way God has shown generosity to us. And of course, that's not just about finance. That's about in forgiveness and in love. And we're going to look at the basics, some principles that, you know, if we follow Jesus, in his kingdom, the weak are strong, the poor are rich. Isn't that true? But in his kingdom, in order to receive his kingdom, then he must increase and we must decrease. If we want to save our life, the Bible tells us, then we must lose it. Unfortunately, there is another God in this world, a God that everybody or many, many people worship, and it's called consumerism. It's a consumer age. Consumer age says, if you've got the money, have it. And if you haven't, your flexible friend will help you. You can ask your flexible friend for anything, and you know what? He will give it to you. You don't need to worry about it now. You may have to worry about it later. But the consumer age says, why shouldn't you have it? Everybody else has it. Shouldn't you have it as well? It's a little bit like in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Did God really say you should not eat? You think there is that link that's come in already? But we don't live in the consumer age ourselves, do we, or do we? We live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a different principle. The kingdom of God is the principle that we live off. And the kingdom of God is everything you have is a gift from God. Do you believe that? Absolutely everything you have is a gift from God. God has gifted it to you. God has blessed you with what you have, with your ability to work, with the strength in your body to work, with the knowledge and talents that you have. He has given those to you to use them wisely, to bless others. And quite often we don't use the gifts that God has given us wisely. And in regard to money, sometimes we don't do what God has given us and given us, used it wisely. And the truth is, our attitude to giving back to God, it's indicative of what our priorities lie, how our priorities lie in our devotion to Him. Someone once said, we worship God as much with our checkbook as we do with our hymn book. I thought that was an interesting quote. Does anybody like that one? We worship God as much with our checkbook as we do with our hymn book. Now, we don't have hymn books here, of course. Well, not of course, but we don't. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and on the last page of your notes, you'll have some further notes. We're not going to go through those because of time today. But in the last part of those notes, you'll have some more information. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give whatever you have decided in your heart to give. Can we say that together? Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Does anybody know what the word cheerful means in the Bible? It means hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. So when you're giving, you're full of joy. You're giving back to God. God, you know, in your collection plate, whatever it is, in your standing order, when you look at your bank statement, you are so full of joy because what God has done for you, because He loves a hilarious giver. So when you're giving your tithes and offerings today, and you're going to do that when you or have the opportunity to do that when you take communion, you can be joyful. You can be hilarious in church. God doesn't want us to give reluctantly or under compulsion, because we have to, because everyone says we should. God wants us to give as a cheerful giver. So why does Paul write to this? The Christians in Jerusalem are under terrible persecution. They are in the other parts of the world. In fact, the people he's talking about, the Macedonians, are persecuted more than everybody else. They're suffering the worst persecution than anybody else, but Paul is trying to take a collection for the Jews in Jerusalem, for the Christian Jews, for the Christians in Jerusalem. And the Macedonians take a collection. They want to give, in fact, more than they want to. They actually beg Paul to give. And their model of giving is the model that we have 2,000 years later, this wonderful model of giving from people that are under severe poverty, the people that are under severe strain. They choose to want to give hilariously. Isn't that amazing? Brothers and sisters that maybe they've never ever met before, but Paul tells them about brothers and sisters in another part of the world, and they choose to give. Why do they choose to give? They choose to give because of their spiritual wealth. They have such an amazing devotion to God. They've encountered Jesus in such a powerful way. And because of their spiritual wealth, because of their love for Jesus, because of their devotion to Him, because of understanding who they are in Christ, because they understand how totally devoted God is to them, they have this spiritual wealth where they just want to bless other people in need. You know, we live in a day and age like that today, where we are spiritually blessed, aren't we? Aren't we blessed to have this building? Aren't we blessed to have the people around us? Aren't we blessed to have the worship team? Aren't we blessed to have such a good-looking pastor? Or assistant pastor, it was one of the two. Aren't we blessed with the people around you? Don't we have a spiritual wealth and abundance? I take you today into Syria. Some of you know I've been into Syria. And you see what some of the Christians have in a blown-up building and their spiritual wealth. It's amazing. And you know, if I said to them, would you take a collection for my church? You know what they do? They take everything they've got and share it. Do you know why? Because they met Jesus. And they've got this spiritual wealth which just oozes out of them. And we're not just talking about money, we're talking about love, we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about all the kind of things that other Christians need at times in life. This was a privilege for them. It came naturally to them. It's the type of giving that's done in love. It requires no audience. We don't have to show other people what we give and how we give. It's followed by no reasoning or regrets. It springs from a deep spiritual relationship that puts God in the proper perspective as the owner of all things. Do we agree that God is the owner of all things? He owns absolutely everything. I did tell you a story once about my car that I had a nice car and it got stolen in church. It was all Mav's fault, but I'm now holding that against her. I've forgiven her now. But I remember one day, driving my car, thinking, what a lovely car I've got. Aren't I fortunate? I've got a nice car. And I went past them in Solihull, all the windows of the glass buildings, and looking at the car and thinking, it's really nice. The next day, someone stole it. And God reminded me, whose car is it, Robin? Not yours. Everything you have comes from me. You see, when we recognise, as the Macedonians did, that God owns everything, that all the blessings come from him, including our ability to work, our role as stewards become evident. Money is not our possession. It is God's possession. We must hold it in trust and use it wisely. You see, God in his wisdom chooses to allocate money to people in different ways, depending on the plans and purposes he has for them. And we all think sometimes, well, it's about my ability and about what I've done and my hard work. But everything we own is allotted to us with God's wisdom because he knows how we will deal with our money. It's his choice. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. One day, we will have to give an account in front of God for the way we have been stewards of what he's given us, of everything that we have. He will ask us, and do you know what I want him to say to me? There are some words I want him to say to me. I want him to say this, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done for the way that you used the finances and the time you gave. Well done for the way you showed your love, that love to other people. Well done for being my hands and my feet. Well done for being generous. Like I was generous to others. Well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words I want to hear. Do you want to hear those words? When I meet Jesus face to face, I want him to be really pleased with me. I want him to say, you did well, son. Well done. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And scripture teaches us that the giver will enjoy the greater blessing. My children ask me at Christmas and birthday, what would you like for Christmas, Dad? Or what would you like for your birthday? And they are totally frustrated with me. Because I say, I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I have everything I need. And they want to bless me. But when it comes the other way around, I want to say, so it's Lydia's birthday today. Happy birthday, darling. Didn't see you this morning. Happy birthday. You've got something growing out of your head. Okay. And I want to be generous to my daughter. And today it's her birthday and I've bought her a new Porsche. I used Esther's flexible friend. And I want to be generous to her. I'm the kind of person... For me, I'm more blessed by giving than receiving. I love to give. I love to help people. I love to give out to people. I feel blessed about it. My mum was one of the most generous people I ever knew. I think I've learned things from my mum. When I was a kid, I used to hate it when mum would say to me, son, you need to help me today. What is it, mum? We're going shopping. I thought, oh, no. Because when my mum went shopping, she had a day off a week. She worked very hard, my mum. Very hard. She would go shopping. She'd find out what people needed in church. And we would go shopping. I would take a trolley. She would take a trolley. She would fill up the trolleys full of food. She would then know exactly who was having what food. She'd put them in bags. And then I'd have to go from house to house with my mum as she delivered the food. As a teenager, I used to hate it. But I learned something from her. I saw the joy she had in giving to other people. My mom is one of those generous people. And you know generous people. Apart from being Yorkshire people, I know we've got some Yorkshire people in the house, haven't we? Any Yorkshire people in the house? Double tithing this Sunday. Do you know that if you study the Bible, and you can do this for yourself and tell me if I'm wrong, Jesus talks more about giving than he does about sexual immorality. He even talks more about giving than he does about hell. You find and study for yourself how much Jesus talks about being generous and giving back to God what belongs to him. You see, giving is meant to be sacrificial. It's meant to make an impact on our lifestyle. It's meant to do that. When we give, it's meant to be sacrificial. It's meant to be a lifestyle change. Part of being a good manager or a steward is giving back to God a portion of what he has entrusted to us. It's not that God needs our money. God does not need our money. As far as I know, God is probably the richest person ever. He doesn't need our money. It's not about him saying, come on, you need to pay the tithes. I've got to pay the electricity bill in heaven. Giving is a confirmation that God owns both the material and spiritual things in our lives. Now, the first standard in the Bible of giving is the tithe. It means a tenth. And we haven't got time to look at that really today. You can study it for yourself. But Abraham tithed in Genesis 14, verse 20, after returning from a daring rescue of his nephew Lot from four enemy kings. He encountered the priest Melchizedek and gave him a tenth of all the spoils he'd taken from his enemies. And some say today the tithe is Old Testament legalism. The tithe is about the Old Testament. God's changed his mind in the New Testament. Can I tell you, before the Old Testament law came out, 430 years before the Old Testament law came out, the tithe is introduced. It's not about the Old Testament or the New Testament. Although in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, there is God's command to tithe. It's one of the commandments that God expects people to do. One of the laws. However, it is the only law in all the commandments where there is no punishment. So if you do not do something, God does not punish you. What God does say is this, and you can study it for yourself. If you choose not to do this, I will not bless you. So there is no punishment, but there are consequences. And the consequences are that we don't receive God's blessing upon our life if we don't honour God and give God back what belongs to him. If we choose not to be good stewards of our money, it does not mean that we will not get to heaven. If we've given our life to Jesus, if Jesus is Lord of our life, if he's part of our life, we're going to go to heaven. But our rewards are based on our faithfulness and our obedience and a heart attitude towards God. And God will reward those that are faithfully being good stewards of what he's given us. That's important to know because our attitude and our motivation in giving is really important. But there are no punishments if we choose not to give back to God. But don't be surprised if God does not bless us. Don't be surprised if God doesn't pour out his blessing upon us, if we choose not to give back what belongs to him. You see, tithing has been and always will be a voluntary act on the part of God's people. It is a voluntary act on the part of God's people. I'm not telling you, you must tithe. What I'm saying to you is, do you want God's blessing upon your life? Malachi 3 verse 10. You see, tithing with proper motives invokes God's blessing. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be no room, there will not be room enough to receive it. God wants to bless his church. Do you believe that? God wants to pour out his spirit, and he wants to pour out finances upon his children. Now, I'm going to make a statement which some people will disagree with me, but there are some television programs that tell people, if you give me £100, God will give you £700 back. There are some program people that will ask you for money, and then God will give you seven times that back. And you know, there are a lot of people in church that aren't in church now because they're disappointed with God because he hasn't given them £700 back. God never said he would give seven times back. In fact, I think God gives more than seven times, actually. God says, see if I will not bless you. And there are people in church today that feel disappointed with God. We had a lady here that was really disappointed in God because some person on the telly said, you'll get a letter through your envelope to pay off the £100,000 debt you have raised. And did she get that letter? She didn't. Does she go to church now? She doesn't. But God never said that. God said, see what I will do if I will not open the floodgates of heaven for you. 1 Timothy 5:17 to 18. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially those who labour in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain, and the labourer is worthy of his wages. In effect, Paul taught that if you are part of the local church, you should support the ministry of the local church financially. That's what Paul asks those in the church to do. If you're part of the local church, you should support it financially. What is the storehouse that we bring into? The local storehouse is the church that you come to week in, week out, where you worship the Lord together, where you receive pastoral care from the church, where you're loved and you're taught the word of God. That is the local storehouse. 1 Timothy 5, verse 7, we've just read. Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 23. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the fields produce year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of all the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. You know, the Jewish people, we'll just sideline here, they gave back their firstborn son back to God. Did you know that? The first son that opened the womb was dedicated back to God. The family were expected to give their best back to God. They were expected to bring their grain offerings, all that they have grown. What does that implication of the statement today, what does it mean to us? Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. If we want to be wise in handling our finance, we must seek the wisdom of God. And it's like everything when we're talking about finance. It's like absolutely everything in our life. Whatever we do for God, we should talk to him. We should ask God, what does he want me to do? How does he want me to use the gifts and the abilities that I have? When Vicky's preparing for the worship team, as you're not sitting on the back row, you know, Vicky's praying on a Sunday, or before Sunday, hopefully. God, the gifts you've given me, how do you want me to bless the church? And everything that we do, we should be having conversations with the Lord and consulting with the Lord and getting his wisdom on everything. Part of being wise and acknowledging his lordship over our life and our devotion to him is giving back to him. When we don't give back to God, we put his will second to ours. And in doing so, worldly things gain greater importance. When God takes second place in anything in our lives, in anything, these other things become more important than God. And what can happen is, as we look around in this consumer age, things can become idols, like our cars, like our houses, like our jobs, like anything. The people of Israel lost absolutely everything because they turned to idols, and the consequence was they lost the presence of God. They lost everything. We've got to be very careful, church, that things don't become idols in our life, or people. Sometimes people can become idols in our life. Sometimes we can love our husband or our wife or our boyfriend or our son or our daughter more than God. And anything that takes place of our devotion to him is an idol. The people of Israel were in bondage in a foreign land. And Christians can be in bondage because God is not their first love. And other idols have come in. So we have to be very careful. Bondage to worldly things diverts Christians from works of eternal value. 1 Corinthians 3:11-5 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which is built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." As I said before, if we don't tithe, if we choose not to give back to God, that won't stop us getting into heaven. But there are rewards that God will give us. I want you to think, we've talked a lot about eternity. We've been talking a lot about Jesus coming back for his church. Eternity is a long time. I don't know, because I've not lived more than 53 years. But if I was to die tomorrow and live for eternity, I don't want to look back over my 53 years and think, gosh, I put everything into that and now there's little or no reward. Now, God is a generous giver. But I don't want to look back and go, do you know what, I should have done what Jesus asked. And it affects eternity. Because I think it does. Sometimes say, is the tithe a limit? Of course it's not a limit. You can give what you want. I'll just come off the notes now. You can read them for yourselves. You can give more than a tenth. You don't have to just give 10% to God. I used to know a man who used to come to our church. When he earned so much money, he tithed. And then he earned more money. And he thought, well, I don't need so much to live off. So what I'll do is I'll give more and more. And in the end, he was living off a tenth of what he had for himself and gave God the rest. So we don't have to think I'm just need to bless God with my tithe. You can do more. I know people that actually double tithe, and that was a bit of a joke for the Yorkshire people, but there are people that tithe. Actually, God's been such a blessing to me. I've got 2 minutes, so I'm going to go over. I'm just going to diversify for a minute, but a principle that I've always used, and you don't have to copy my principle, I use the 10-80-10 principle. The 10-80-10 principle that I use, and I've always used and will continue to use until the day I die, is that first of all, I give God my tenth. When I get paid, I give God a tenth of what I earn. I then live within 80% of the means. So I look at my lifestyle and I trim my lifestyle to 80% of what I earn to pay all my bills. And I put 10% away in case there's a problem that the wife spends on my card or the car breaks down. So I always try to do that. And people say, well, it's okay for you, you get a good salary. I do get a good salary. The church pays me very well. But I remember the days when I couldn't even buy a tin of paint for our house. But the first thing I did, when I got paid, I cheerfully gave to God what belonged to him. And I will always live by that principle. I've earned very good money over the years before I became a pastor. I earned a very, very substantial amount of money. Some of you are in that same privilege and have earned more than I did. So I know what it's like to have little, and I know what it's like to have much. But I want to say the principle in the New Testament is God owns 100% of everything that we have. 100%. And the apostles came and laid everything they had at the feet of Jesus. Absolutely everything. They didn't hold anything back. And when some people lied about it, it wasn't the fact that they held it back, it's the fact they lied to the Holy Spirit. They ended up going to meet their maker quicker than they should have done. God owns 100% of everything. And the question I think we should ask ourselves is, it's not how much should I give God? I don't even think that should be a question. It says, how much should I keep back to make sure that I can live in a God-honoring life with the things God's given me. Does that make sense? And God, you have the rest. Malachi 3 verse 8. It says we're actually stealing from God if we don't pay a tithe. There is something to reflect on in this statement. Will a man rob God? God, yes, you have robbed me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. I've studied this for a long time. I've looked at giving. I've asked God to show me what he feels. I've tried to apply things in my life to trust and to see if God is in this. I don't think God's changed his mind now on this verse. I don't think in the New Testament he suddenly goes, yeah, I don't think we need to do that in the New Testament. I think in the Old Testament and the New Testament, he still believes in what he said. I don't think God has changed his mind. Some people have the spiritual gift of giving. I talked to you about my mom and Paul in Romans 12 verse 8. Those people that love Romans, verse 12, chapter 12 verse 8. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, gives with liberality. And there are some people that are very disciplined in their lives. They live frugal lives because all they want to do is bless other people. So they live in a way that they can just get by in life and bless other people. And there are some people who have the gift of that. And there are some people in this room that I know have the gift of that. And God will honour you for that. So thank you for what you do. So, as the musicians are prepared to come back, and we're going to have a time of worship now, let's sum up. Christians should be the most joyous people in the world. We should be the most hilarious givers in the world. When we give back to God, we should be joyful. God does not want us to be miserable when we give in the collection box and get the handkerchiefs out. That was a joke. But he does want us to have the right attitude when we give. We don't want to be saying, God, do I have to do this month? He's not interested in that. He'd rather you don't give. He doesn't want us, when we've given, think, oh, should I have done that? He wants us to be cheerful givers. He wants us to be like the Macedonians. It's not out of duty. It's not out of legalism. Don't respond today when you give your tithes and offerings, or whether you go when you go away this week and take the notes and pray into it yourself. And be like the Bereans. Be like those people that study the word of God. And don't take it just because I've said it. I don't want you to do that. As Pastor Robin said, it must be right then, and therefore we should do it. Study for yourself. See what God says to you. Whatever you agree with God in your heart, then do it cheerfully. That was the first scripture we read, do you remember? Whatever you and the Lord discuss, whatever you and the Lord say together, just do and do it with joy. I do believe that tithes and offerings should be, or tithes at least, should become into the storehouse. I totally believe that. I mean, it's not because I want you to pay my salary. But I do want you to be blessed, and I want this church to be blessed. And I want us as a church to be generous to other people, and we're very generous to other people, and we can do more. And I want us to do more. But I do want you to consider that. And let's do our giving with no regrets, no reasoning. And let's see how the windows of heaven touch earth in this place. Don't sow your seed of 100 and it'll give you 700 back. You know what? I want God to be abundant God as he is and do whatever he wants to do. Whatever he says to you, do it. At the end of the service, Joshua, my son, who's the finance officer, will be sitting at the table in the reception area, and he can talk to you about giving. And at the bottom of your notes, on the back of the page, you can see that anything you do give is confidential. It doesn't go out in the local newspaper, and we don't have a competition to see who can give the most. It's confidential, and we will keep everything that you share confidential. Joshua will be available if you wish to speak to him at the end. Worship team, come out, let's worship. So, the main thing today to take from this is God outgives us all the time. How can we, in our giving, be generous back to God and be devoted to him? Let's see what he says. Let's stand as we worship. We're going to go into a time of worship now. 20 past week, we've got at least 30 minutes of great worship, deep worship, worship we can just enjoy God And then when we take our tithes and offerings, you can come and bring, when we do communion, you can bring your tithes and offerings then, if you wish. Let's stand together. Father, thank you so much, first of all, for everything you've given us. Number one thing you've given us, Father, is Jesus. You've given us your best. And today, I want to honour you. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, you gave us the very best. And Lord, this isn't about money, this is about our heart towards you. And Lord, we ask today that whatever you say to us, we will respond. Whatever you ask us to do, whatever you want me to do today, whatever you are laying on my heart, whatever gift you've given us, that we'll use it to be totally devoted to you in everything. So Lord, we commit our way and we ask you, Lord, to bless us in a way that you've never done before. We ask you, Lord, to change our mindset at times. But Lord, help us to be the person you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.